Again, we open the Word of God in the book of Psalms this morning. This time our focal point we find in Psalm 25. Psalm 25, with our text being the verses 4 and 5. It's page 541 in our Pew Bible, 541. This is the inspired word of God, of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. That's Psalm 25. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're a people who are on the way, brothers and sisters, people who are on a life's journey to our destination. I'm sure this imagery may be considered quite appropriate today as we are in another holiday season. It will take some time yet before the schools will resume. The society season will be kicked off and life returns to normal. Yet we do continue our journey, literally and figuratively. Well, as long as you know where you are going, that should be fine. Those who go away traveling on holidays will agree with that. A GPS, a good road map, or clear directions from Google Map help a lot in finding your way. Likewise, it's very important for that other journey, our life's journey, that we know the way to our destination. Many people are going their way, however, without knowing it. They live their life as it presents itself, and that's okay to them. Yet they have no destination. The Bible shows us the way. With God, you're on your way to a beautiful future, a glorious destination. Yet that it's even more important that you know the way, go the way, and yes, that you realize the complications on this way. Every day, beloved, we have to make decisions, simple ones and far-reaching decisions. After a somewhat relaxed summer, we'll have to set the alarm clock again, which may seem simple, but not easy. There are other decisions to be made as well. To what school are the children going? What courses are they taking? And what career are they pursuing? Among us, there are others who are pondering the question, should I attend a pre-confession class this year or wait a year? Then there are decisions to be made in our professional career. Do I stay with this boss? Do I expand the business? Or do I relocate with my family? In situations of chronic illness and medical treatments, there are the decisions of an operation, of a nursing home, or of a more drastic approach. And we all agree, I'm sure, that it's important to make good choices, good decisions. Then we must learn from the Word of God this morning that we should never do so without the Lord. Although you are responsible for the decisions you make, you should never do so without the help of the Lord. Yes, beloved, what a beautiful thing it is then to read and sing this psalm. In it, the psalmist David lays out his life in all its complexities and variables and starts out by saying, to you, Lord, I lift up my soul. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. David, too, was on a journey, and he had to make serious decisions as well, yet he doesn't want to make them on his own. He would not be able to make it on his own. In fact, in his covenant relationship with the Lord, he goes his way step by step with the Lord. That's the ABC of a life in the covenant. Hence, he writes this psalm, an alphabetic psalm, that is, the verses are in alphabetic order. He writes this psalm to show how he seeks God's guidance and direction, his help and hand to go in the right path and pursue the right way. Yes, he does so for himself and for his people Israel. So at the crossroads in our life, we will do well to follow him in this way. And here, David prays for the Lord's way in his life. We see, first of all, his desire for the way. Secondly, his direction in the way. And thirdly, his destination of the way. So I summarize the message of our text as follows. David prays for the Lord's way in his life. We see his desire for the way, his direction in the way, and his destination of the way. So first of all, his desire for the way. David's psalm, brothers and sisters, is quite a song. In it we hear a prayer for salvation. It's an expression of trust and confidence as well. It's also a petition for the Lord's way, with hope and expectation in the midst of loneliness and trouble. Yet, through it all, He calls upon the Lord, expressing his urgent desire to know the Lord's way. Then we could think that this is the prayer of someone who lived long ago, a man living in totally different circumstances than we are. Still, he was living the same life you and I are living, a complex life, filled with many concerns and moved here and there to make choices, decisions, and business approaches. Yet in the midst of it all, his focus is on God, the Lord, the God of the covenant, that is his God and Lord, and his people's God and Lord. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, he says. He knows, if I desire to go the right way and stay the course, my life, my soul should be lifted up to him. No, he doesn't do so when he doesn't know the way any longer, or when he has lost the way, so to use the Lord as a last resort. No, his prayer is first and foremost in his life. Now, what is that, beloved? Lifting up your soul to the Lord. Well, it means that you entrust yourself to him. That is yourself, the way you are, with your whole being, personality, status, feeling, challenges, etc. You entrust yourself to the Lord completely and totally. You give yourself over to him, to his way with your life. And you desire to know his way, to go his way, and to follow him in his way. Many things are important in life. And in many situations, you have to make choices in life. And for many decisions, there are counselors and advisors in life. Yet, then you entrust yourself to the Lord first thing in life. And that's not something that comes naturally, or that's not something we are inclined to seek spontaneously. On the contrary, we have many thoughts and desires and ideas and plans going around in our heart, soul, and mind. Many goals, pursuits, and concerns in our inmost being, that is, in our soul. As Psalm 103 also uses that word. Yet David shows us the way. He is the king who knows the way. He is the good shepherd, foreshadowing Christ Jesus, who wants to go the way of the Lord his God. That's the first step, beloved, the ABC of our life in the covenant with the Lord. Every time we are placed before a decision, every situation in which we are in a predicament, or every time we have to make a choice, when you desire to go the way of the Lord, you need to lift up your soul to the Lord and pray. Show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your paths. No, that doesn't mean that you are insecure or indecisive or too ignorant to know the way. He doesn't do it either to make himself look good before the Lord or so, starting out his story about his decision-making by saying, well, I prayed to the Lord about it, and then do his own thing, follow his own desire or so. No, he knows that he is a man, even a sinful man, and therefore is inclined to go the wrong way, to stray from the Lord, and to do your own thing. Due to sin, beloved, man has lost his focus in God. lost his compass in good and evil. And so David knows that if he wants to go the good and reliable way, he has to go the way of the Lord. And why does he do so, beloved? Well, because he knows himself so well and realizes that he can manage on his own. He's quite open and honest about that. Read verse 7, for instance. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. That's a confession David makes. That's a confession in which he says, and we all should echo that confession, Lord, I can't live by myself, go the way by myself. There's too much that is wrong with me. Before you know it, I have strayed from you, lost my way, and run stuck in my life. That's the first thing our young people have to consider too when they are considering making profession of this faith. I need the Lord. I need the Lord big time. He needs to keep me on the way in following the Lord Jesus, who is the truth, the way, and the life, and who showed us the way. Narrow though this way might be. We come to our second point, his direction in the way. Of course, beloved, when you pray to the Lord for his way, then you realize that he prescribes the way. He shows you in what direction you will have to go in your life. It's not the other way around, namely that you determine the way, choose the direction in life, and that God has to come along with you to interfere when things won't work out in your life or so. No, God created man to live for him, to his honor and glory, and to do his will. That means that you will have to humble yourself and, just like David, give yourself over to the Lord and trust yourself to him and deny yourself. At least then you may know for certain also that you will reach your goal, your destination in life. Hence, when you prayerfully lift up your life to the Lord to know his way and to go his way, you will have to be convinced that he shows the way, which is what he did. As we read in Psalm 103, for instance, he revealed his way to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. The Lord also gave directives in his law and in his word, with the calling not to move away from it, either to the left or to the right. Deuteronomy 5, verse 32. Every Lord's Day, beloved, we hear the 10 words of the covenant of the Lord's directive and instruction for the way he wants you to go together with him, as we will also contemplate this afternoon with Lord's Day 34. It's a life in God's sight, a holy life in which he teaches the sinner concerning the way of life, the way of love. Yes, then David's reality will be ours as well when he confesses his sins, the sins of his youth as well as his iniquity. He also admits his struggles and troubles caused inside as well as outside. That is, his fight inside, his afflictions and distress. But also the sins coming to him, the temptations coming to him from the outside, his fight, the attacks of his enemies. This situation makes him lonely and troubled. David is very honest and humble, deeply aware of his sins and misery, which cry for salvation. Hence, he wants to know the way of life. And he wants the Lord to show him this way, not only, but also to teach him this way. He wants to be familiar more and more with this way, be trained in it. Compare it, if you will, with our young people when they turn 16 and wish to get their driver's license. At first, it seems so overwhelming to them, having to control so many things all at once, learning as they do in a standard, and then pay attention to the many aspects. "I can never learn this," my youngest daughter cried out while we were hopping on a parking lot in my Volkswagen. Yet, the more they practice, the more they get a feel for the moves and controls, the more comfortable they become to go their way by car and direct their paths according to the rules. Indeed, beloved, to know the way and to walk in the truth, that's not something that comes easy. What the Lord has revealed as the truth in His Word, you need to learn to apply. Learn to accept. Learn to understand. And learn to confess. This is the way. This is good. Hence, with David, we need to pray, "Show me the way. Guide me in your truth." What great incentive that is as we look forward to the catechism classes again, young people, or congregation, to the Bible Study Society evenings. Yes, also for us personally. For example, you meet a boy whom you like, and you wonder whether to pursue a relationship. Then you pray, "Lord, show me the way." But then you also need to study the Word to determine whether you are one in faith with the boy, whether this is a girl with whom you can serve the Lord together, or whether this boy or girl will support you in your desire to live for the Lord together according to His will. Lots of aspects you find in the Bible can be applied to find the answer to your prayers. That's how the Lord hears and answers and helps and shows you what direction you have to go. The same you could say about your career choices, your daily labors, or other decisions and choices you need to make. Complex, because we are inclined to listen to our sinful heart, follow our selfish mind, or pursue our personal pride. Yet, what the Lord want me to do with my life? That's the question. We are still responsible for the way we go. Hence, we pray, "Lord, show." David experienced difficult times, beloved. And so did his people Israel. Yes, as we can see in his conclusion to this psalm, he knows himself united with his people. Hence, when we are dealing with personal questions and personal issues and circumstances, we should make sure that we don't isolate them from God's people. When you consider the choices you have to make, the decisions you are wrestling with, you should not forget the church. The Lord also uses people to show the way. Praying much without asking anyone for advice is not according to His will. A wise man listens to advice. We read in Proverbs 12, verse 15. Besides, let's not forget that we are inclined always to follow our own feelings, our own opinion, and make that the decisive factor. Again, I mention your pursuit of a boy or girlfriend, for instance, or the schooling of your children, your or their career choices, your job site, or your material pursuits in the world. Don't exclude your place among God's people in your considerations. When you are having a hard time in the congregation or afflictions in your life, consider also the whole congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and remember the troubles and tribulations of many others in this world who cry to the Lord, "You are God, my Savior." Many believers there are who can identify with David's words and make them their own. I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and distress. Yes, and then he also admits and confesses that underlying much of it are his sins. And forgive all my sins. Then the Lord will hear and show the way of repentance and return and reunion. He shows the way, and that's so reassuring. Then also you realize that you need God, your Savior, and that you are not alone in your sins, in your distress. Just like David, therefore, consider the brotherhood of believers in the world, in your reflections, your considerations, and you will be lifted up above your personal circumstances and be strengthened. It's the direction he gives to David, to us, as the way of him who saves sinners in Jesus Christ. Pray for God's salvation, beloved. Pray for his truth and pray for his mercies and love and grace in Jesus Christ. Indeed, that's where all ways and paths come together to the one way of Jesus Christ, by whom the Lord saves sinners, saves from miseries and afflictions, saves his people throughout the world and throughout history. Yes, all his promises and testimonies and perspectives will be fulfilled, and he will bring the ways and paths of his children to their destination, the restored life on the new earth. Therefore, pray for yourself. And pray for others also, and pray with others. Pray that you may enter the kingdom of Christ, yet pray that you may enter with thousands of others. Your sin and misery is theirs, and their sin and misery is yours. And so we come to our third point, his destination of the way. When we have thus established the pursuit of the way by prayer, and we know the direction we are to go in the way, brothers and sisters, we'll also find peace and security and assurance about our destination. You will find it in God, the Lord, because we go the way with him. We follow the way through him. And we have communion on the way with him. You see, that's the most beautiful aspect of this covenant way. He comes along on the way. Yes, he comes along as a friend with whom we may have intimate communion. As we read in verse 14, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. That means that we may seek his counsel. As David expresses in Psalm 16, as we saw last week as well, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. For he is a shade on our right hand." Then we continue our journey to our destination at Father's hand. On the way, he shows us all his works, the things he made so beautiful, as well as the things people have spoiled. Thus he shows us the way of life, the path through life. In that way he differs from all other friends. There is a limit to what we can bear of one another. At a certain moment you feel too deeply hurt, betrayed, or bullied, then friendship dies. The Lord, however, makes known his covenant, his faithfulness to his given promises. In that way, too, he is so close. When David speaks of this intimate counsel from the Lord, beloved, he must have thought of the counselors that assisted him, who were very intimate with him as well, like Hushai. People, and they were called the king's friends. That's what God wants to be to David and his people. That's what life in the covenant is like. The Lord's friendship is for those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. The Lord had this intimacy with Abraham, whom he called his friend, James 2, verse 23. And he shared his own plans with Abraham too, like the ones about Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the ABC of the covenant indeed, the way the Lord hears us, counsels us, shows us the way, and teaches us, trains us, guiding us in the truth, because he is our Savior. His word is with us, in our heart and in our mouth, the word of truth. We may know the way in Jesus Christ who urged us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He said as well, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. John 15. Indeed, what a friend we have in Jesus. This is how we may pray for the Lord's leading in our life, beloved. Then we may not always receive cut and dried answers, neither will they come right away most of the time. Wait for the Lord. That too is an important feature in the covenant. He is never as much in a hurry as we are. Yet he will show the way and lead in the way and bring us to our destination. That will be the destination at which we, together with all his people and his whole renewed world, will be placed in the glory of his intimacy with the Lord. Those who fear him will inherit the earth with Christ. I say to you that many will come from east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 8, verse 11. That's the fulfillment we are anticipating. And to that destination, we continue our journey, seeking the Lord's counsel, studying his word, and going in his ways. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you all day long. Amen.